Chris Rock got his start on Saturday Night Live and the sketch comedy series In Living Color. Then he got his own late-night variety show on HBO. He's also starred in several films. On Sunday, Rock will host the Oscars. At first, the Academy and the network expressed concern about whether Rock would be able to curb his profanity. But they ought to be more worried about his willingness to say things that most people, even most comics, avoid. His new comedy album, called Never Scared, illustrates that perfectly. Here's a bit about Michael Jackson, recorded last year in Philadelphia.
What the hell is wrong with Michael? Another kid? Another kid? I thought it was Groundhog's Day when I heard that shit. Another kid? Get the f*** out of here. Yo, that's how much we love Michael. We love Michael so much, we let the first kid slide. Like, come on, man. The man made Billie Jean. Leave him alone. I am done. I love Michael Jackson my whole life. I've been his biggest fan, but I'm done. I'm done. I saw Michael on 60 Minutes. I couldn't take that. Ed Bradley tried his best to make Michael look like a mammal. Just somebody that drank water and breathed air, right? He gave Michael the easiest questions in the world, the easiest GED questions in the world, and Michael could not pass the test. It's like, oh, Michael, do you think it's proper for a 45-year-old man to sleep in a bed with 13-year-old boys? Yes. Okay, let me rephrase that. Michael, would you let your children sleep in the bed of a 45-year-old man that's been accused of child molestation? Yes. Ed Bradley looked at Michael Jackson like he wanted to say, nigga, is you crazy? Like he wanted to take the 60 Minutes clock and push the shit forward. Say, get the fuck off my show. I thought you said it was 60 minutes. It's 10 minutes. Get out of here.
Chris Rock from his new CD, Never Scared. Terry Gross spoke with him in 1997.
Did you go through a radical black consciousness period when you were in your teens?
No. No, you know, I didn't go through I was in my teens. That's like the 80s. So it's not exactly the most conscious decade or time. You know, I was bused to school as a kid.
Mm-hmm. From where to where?
From Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn to Garrison Beach, Brooklyn and to Bensonhurst. And, you know, I was getting called nigger since I was like in the second grade. So I never, I was always in tune with my blackness, even, you know, from the time I was, you know, in the second grade.
Weren't there a lot of other people from your neighborhood who got bused to Bensonhurst?
There was like a contingent, about like five of us.
Five, that's all?
Yeah, it wasn't, when I say the neighborhood, I'm just talking about like a block, like a two block radius. You know, when you grow up like in a bad neighborhood, there's not a lot of venturing out. So my neighborhood was like two blocks to me. Then the rest of the neighborhood, I didn't go anywhere because anything could happen. My mother wasn't having it.
So how many African American students would you say there were in the schools that you got busted?
In the schools, okay. I was like the only black kid in my grade a couple of times.
Wow. Uh-huh.
I was the only black boy, and then there were like two black girls, three black girls. For like most of my grade school. And the girls had each other. I was kind of like by myself.
So you think that contributed to your being a comedian because you were so alienated?
Yeah, I was alienated and I had nothing else to do. You know, I always loved comedy. You know, I had nothing to fall back on. I have no real skills. You know, if I picked up a paper right now and, you know, went through the want ads, there's nothing I could get that would pay me more than minimum wage. So I loved comedy, got into it, was a little twisted. You know, my schooling had twisted me somewhat. And it really helped me out. I mean, most black people, not most black people, but a lot of black people, you don't really experience racism hands-on. You always, like my brothers who didn't get bused to school, like they experience the effects of racism, you know, living in a bad neighborhood, you can't get the cab, bad jobs, all that stuff. But very few people get that, especially in the North, that, hey, nigga, that in your face every day. There's not a lot of guys my age that have been through what I've been through.
How did you get your first comedy break?
How did I get my first comedy break? I was discovered by Eddie Murphy at the comic strip in New York about 8 years ago now. And he saw my act, liked what I was doing, and put me in this HBO special called the Uptown Comedy Express. It was on me, Robert Townsend, Arsenio Hall, Marsha Warfield, and Barry Sobel. And this it aired about eight years ago.
Must have been pretty exciting for you because Eddie Murphy was one of the people you really wanted to emulate.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy was an idol of mine. I wouldn't say, I never really wanted to emulate his work per se. Like, I love his work. I just always wanted to do some other thing. I idolized him as a personality, mm-hmm. more so mm-hmm. than anything else. Like, wow, it's a young guy doing it. More so than the actual art part of it. But it's, if I had to pattern myself after anybody, it's more of a Sam Kinison thing.
What qualities of his? That in-your-face quality?
That in-your-face shock. Things that are said every day but never said on stage quality. I don't know. I just remember Sam Kinison when I was coming up was like the only guy that sounded new. Everybody else was kind of doing different versions of other guys. Kinison was like totally new. I mean, even Eddie did Pryor. Pryor kind of did Cosby. And, Jerry Seinfeld did Robert Klein. Everybody kind of did somebody. And Sam, I don't know anybody that sounds like Sam Kinison.
No, I have a question about your voice. Your voice in your onstage performances, in when you're doing comedy, is much deeper, louder, and rougher than your voice in conversation, which is higher and lighter.
Right.
Almost sweeter, if I could use that word.
Oh, thanks.
And I almost feel like, are you not comfortable with that voice on stage? Do you feel like you need a harder-edged voice to do your comedy?
Well, it's the money's on the line. It's like people are paying $25. And they want a performance. They don't want me. They want me to be better than me. I got to look better than me. I got to be taller, louder, funny. I have to be more. I mean, when you're on stage, it's kind of like being a woman, It's like, put on the makeup, do the hair. Nobody wants me. They want Chris Rock. I'm just Chris.
so you got to put on a personality on stage.
Well, I got to be bigger than I normally am. I mean, at the same token, I couldn't walk through life acting the way I act on stage.
Well, right, without getting hit a lot, probably.
Right, exactly.
Did being really skinny, do you think, affect who you became and how people thought of you? Or, how you see yourself as a comic?
Totally. Being skinny has affected every aspect of my life. Put it this way. Look at my stand-up. I have twice as many... I always say stand-up comedy and boxing are pretty much the same. Boxing is to sports what stand-up is to entertainment, because it's just a guy out there by himself. And I perform like a skinny boxer. I don't have the ability to knock you out, so I have twice... You take my hour special and anybody else's hour special. I probably have twice as many jokes compact in it, because my size has me so insecure, I'm always working twice as hard. So, yeah, being skinny has totally affected me and totally weirded me out.
But speaking of boxing,
men are crazy.
Did people fight with you a lot when you were young and take advantage of your size?
Totally.
Did you?
And the only reason they don't do it now is because I'm me.
Right, you're famous.
That's the only reason.
Did you learn to fight?
When you're as small as I am, it doesn't really matter.
Try martial arts or anything?
Martial arts, some big guy will just grab you and throw you down. What's the point?
Did you try to cripple your opponent with comedy?
I've just, stayed out of environments and situations where fights may occur. No drinking. Like, I don't drink because I can't fight. Wherever it is, alcohol served as a bouncer because people get out of hand. So I can't, too little to be around guys that get out of hand. So I can't drink. Poor, woe is me. I'm sure Woody and Spike think the same.
Oh, you can have them on your show and talk about it. A little self-help.
Yeah. That's why I love Spike, Brooklyn and Skinny.
Chris Rock speaking with Terry Gross in 1997. He hosts the Oscars this Sunday.